I'm Frank Vaughn. It's May 2nd, 2025, and things are moving along rather quickly. I talked in yesterday's edition how you may be prepared to sign a half dozen petitions. Sign all the petitions, because right now we have to indicate our political will, and we have to make noise. And I either alluded in yesterday's video, or I alluded to it in a private conversation, sometimes the two are indistinguishable in my mind, that I was hoping unified grassroots would take up the cause, and it didn't take long. This morning, we have news. This is Nadine Ness, the leader of Unified Grassroots. We're going to read along. I'm going to show you the petition, and you need to sign this one. This is an important one. It may end up being the master petition that builds towards the referendum. This from Nadine Ness. Call to action. The time is now, Saskatchewan. Like many of you, we've been sitting with a heavy heart after Monday night's election. Some are calling it a conservative win because of a few extra seats, but let's be honest, is that enough to protect Saskatchewan and the West from what's coming if Mark Carney begins implementing his vision for Canada, as he set out in his book? Whatever snake oil this man sells, everybody should be reading his book and should be studying it now. It's very important. I'm going to return to that book review this weekend. We had hoped for a turning point, but instead, we got more of the same. But out of that disappointment has come clarity and purpose. In March, Unified Grassroots polled our members. Over 90% said Saskatchewan must pursue sovereignty and support a referendum. We hadn't planned to lead this charge, but your voices were clear, and we're stepping up. We are launching a citizen-led petition to trigger a plebiscite, a province-wide vote on Saskatchewan's future. We need approximately 125,000 signatures. Register your intent to sign here. We'll get into the actual petition next. This is not the official petition yet. It's our way of building support needed to launch. This is the Alberta Prosperity Project here in Saskatchewan. Of course, it will have some nuance. It will be a little different. But I can tell you, Unified Grassroots does great work all over this province. They hold town halls. They're a not-for-profit. Nobody's getting paid, at least not yet. Maybe in the future, if they have the funding, they'll be able to do that. But right now, it's a grassroots movement, totally organic. The money that they raise goes to hall rentals, goes to serving coffee at those meetings, but building that momentum. They have done some great work, and it's an on-the-ground organization. This isn't the huge social media thing, even though they have a big presence online, especially for something out of Saskatchewan. But what they do is grassroots, 16 town halls all over the province, so people can learn how to get involved. Finishing this, what else can you do to help move this forward? In Saskatchewan, there's currently no citizen initiative initiated and binding avenue for a referendum. We can, however, apply pressure on the current government to order a referendum or amend the Referendum and Plebiscite Act to allow a citizen-initiated binding referendum. Here's how you can create pressure. Contact your MLA, join a political party, sit in your MLA's constituency association board, and attend political conventions. We can shape Saskatchewan's future, but only if we act together. Please share and tag your friends, etc. On screen is the actual page for the referendum, the page for Unified Grassroots, and I can't say this enough. This is an important petition. Sign all the petitions, but make sure you sign this one, and don't hesitate to volunteer. Now, I personally am considering joining the Saskatchewan Party. I haven't been a member of a political party for some years now. I'm still considering it and pondering it. And you might say, why would you think about joining an establishment party that's made so many errors of judgment and made so many mistakes, engaged in the draconian lockdowns and all the things that happened in the past? Because this government is responsive. Before I moved here, this government was the first to drop mandates because they listened. And Scott Moe may not have come out and given the full-throated apology and taken full responsibility for everything that happened, but he came close. And this is a zeitgeist that swept the entire world. But I don't think, considering that he's committed to allowing the Saskatchewan people to hold this referendum or this plebiscite, it's not really a referendum until government allows it to be a referendum, but if there's enough noise, there's enough people showing up at the meetings, there's enough people getting involved, the Saskatchewan Party has demonstrated that they are responsive. So these are, in some ways, these are early days. There is a great deal of urgency behind getting organized. But in the meantime, Carney hasn't even acted yet. And understand this about Saskatchewan. Carla Beck and the NDP have already adopted a position that they are Team Canada all the way. She's out there wearing Canada sweaters and everything else, already abandoning the idea. Look, when you are elected to provincial legislature, you're supposed to represent the best interests of the Saskatchewan people, not represent your own politics. She's making a calculated play that being Team Canada will sell better to the Saskatchewan people than actually looking out for Saskatchewan's interests. And this is all before we've seen what Mark Carney will do. I guarantee you Carla Beck has not read his book. She doesn't understand what this man represents. So we have to show, when he shows his hand, she's going to be out of position. I can see that coming already. This would be a bad time, and maybe it'll be necessary, but this would be a bad time to divide the right in Saskatchewan. Even though the SAS party won 52% of the vote in the last election, there were a few key swing ridings where a few thousand votes one way or another could have meant that an NDP that only won 42% of popular support, 10 points less than the SKP, could have formed a majority government. Now, the SAS party's been elected. They're newly minted. They got 3.5 years left in their mandate. So right now, rather than trying to build another political party, maybe this will change, but as I see it right now, your best bet is to advocate through the SAS party, writing your MLA, going to the meetings, getting involved. If you care about the future, then you should care enough to be involved more than on social media, and I am going to muscle up on that. You can guarantee it in the coming months. So either way, get to this and sign it, and now let's examine some other stuff that's going on. The Change.org petition is up to 2,655 signatures after being online for barely 2 days. Everybody that signed this should go sign the other petition as well. This is a mutual effort. And granted, I don't know who is behind this petition. I seen a small account on Twitter that wrote a reasonable petition, and I wanted to help with my social media presence. I will do the same for anybody who is reasonable, who is trying to do something. The Unified Grassroots petition is very important. Unified Grassroots is a big deal here in Saskatchewan. They punch well above their weight class. The headline is, Mo says he's Canadian but wouldn't stop vote on Saskatchewan separating from Canada. That's a good thing. That means he'll not stand in the way of his people having a say. Carla Beck believes that a top-down approach that prevents the people from having a say and prevents the people from having a voice is the appropriate course of action. And you would expect that from an NDP socialist that is very closely aligned to the Jagmeet Singh, once led NDP, which has fallen into perdition. The NDP in Saskatchewan is not the old NDP of many decades prior. It is the new NDP with all the same radical ideas, and they believe they know better than you. So I don't know why this is bad news. Now, speaking of news, the headline from Global News and several news outlets yesterday, Carney praised as serious person by Trump administration ahead of White House visit. And they got this noble picture of him speaking in front of a microphone. And I wrote, if Trump had praised Polyev, it would have been wall-to-wall scandal. But now it's positive headline news about our newly minted prime minister. They rub our faces in the hypocrisy. Trump's praise is now an endorsement of a leader's strength. The media hates you. The politicians and the pundits that are of the mainstream left have no limit to the scorn they feel for the people. That's why they can go from demonizing everything Trump says and making Polyev look like a thrall of Donald Trump to, in the next breath, highlighting a compliment that President Trump has made about Carney. And Carney, among his first acts, is to go down there. Now, he gave a press conference today. He said he's going forward with reciprocal tariffs. He's going forward with the trade war. And I don't expect that to change. Maybe it will. Maybe it won't. I don't know the high degree of coordination that exists between the Trump administration and Mark Carney. There's evidence that suggests there is a degree of coordination. Or at least Trump is just playing a game with Canada. And that's kind of his to do because our political leaders have led us to this situation where we are a dependent state on the United States. We've denuded our military. We've created a trade position where we are dependent on our geopolitical trading partner, and I'm not exactly against that. I think America is a natural partner. But we have spent our time being hysterical about the United States. We have spent our time with our political leaders taking pot shots at Donald Trump for the last 4 years. And now we're about to pay a price. So we'll see what comes out of the meeting. But make no mistake, the hypocrisy is real. Now, there is a huge concerted effort to denigrate anybody who has separatist ideas. This idea that there's no way it can happen. There's so many things in the way. There's so many obstacles. These are just a bunch of angry fool rednecks. You've seen the insults. You've seen the demeaning. And I wrote on Twitter last night, the year is 1774, so a year before the outbreak of the War for Independence. Let's pretend the internet existed back then. Imagine the infographics and memes that would have been created telling the future Americans that breaking with the crown was impossible. Britain was at the height of their power. Who would have thought a tiny upstart colony could have a revolution and throw off the yoke of the crown? But it happened anyway. And I said, this time we don't need guns, we just need vision. And it's true, we do need vision. We need to understand. I seen that certain chiefs in Alberta have come out and warned Daniel Smith off this idea of independence. Isn't it time we stopped listening to the band chiefs and we started listening to the people who are under their yoke? The country is disappearing from underneath all of our feet. It has been sold off, it's been carved up, and it's been denigrated by Ottawa. Those treaty obligations aren't going to mean anything in 50 to 100 years when we're all under the thumb of cultures that are not this one. How has it all been working out for everybody, the status quo? I know the money keeps flowing to the reserves. I know the money keeps flowing to the band chiefs. But what about the people? Even though Canadians in general don't have property rights, think of the Native American who literally has no property on reserve. Do they have clean water yet? As many of the chiefs drive around in Cadillac Escalades, how are their people faring? Maybe it's time we heard from the people. I talked to a full-blooded Native American farmer not long ago who had some very unique and different opinions. And he has some social media clout. He has some following within his own community. He says the people, if they were introduced to how different things could be, would choose a different path. The media promotes the chiefs who want one thing, but the people, have they ever been given a voice? And if we don't start thinking outside the box of the past, if we keep anchoring our visions in the past, there will be no collective future, whether you're Native American, white, French, English, whatever. We're drowning in it. It's like I said, we don't need guns. We just need vision. The meme on screen is a man weighed down by a big sack, and on the sack is written the word past, and there's a child symbolizing the future. Wouldn't it be easier if you left that behind? Wouldn't it be easier if Western Canada left behind a 150-year legacy of being screwed by Ottawa? And a man last night online, I'm going to examine this right now, said to me, more or less, that I'm an idiot. Saskatchewan has not been a province for 150 years, says Jeff Cliff at shitposter.world. The idea that Ottawa has been abusing Saskatchewan for 150 years is absurd. 150 years ago, Ottawa was still trying to build a railroad to Regina. Are you even in this province? Says Jeff Cliff. Now, I want you to keep track of his bio. You really shouldn't flaunt your ignorance, dolt. All right, Jeff. Jeffrey. To begin this, I said, why do you love seeing the people of the West used and abused for the last 150 years? Are you campaigning to lead Canada? Or are you for the best for Saskatchewan? Both you and Scott need to update your worldviews. Ottawa is not our friends. And this was in response to the Saskatchewan New Democrats, who seem to be on the Team Canada train and not the Team Saskatchewan train. So I had to explain to young Jeff, I'm assuming he's young based on the profile picture and the bio, it starts before we were a province. Ottawa sent two men to survey these lands, John Palliser and Henry Yule Hind. John came first, and he reported back to Ottawa that vast areas in the south of these territories were not fit for agriculture. And Ottawa didn't like that professional advice. So they sent Henry to get another opinion. Henry reported back that everything was arable, that the south was a vast and verdant, untapped agricultural masterpiece. And Ottawa liked that very much. and many tried and failed to find that paradise in Palliser's Triangle, as it's known now. How many lives were ruined in that first bad decision? Maybe not just ruined, lost, because they tried to farm based on Ottawa's bad advice, which wasn't even professionally derived. They didn't like the analytical analysis, so they sent somebody who'd give them the yes-man answer that they desired. From there, Ottawa decided to run the first rail line south, and not north, to the Yellowhead Pass, again screwing the people who live there. And I said, I know my history, sir, and you are correct. We've been getting screwed since before we were provinces. And then he says, let me get this straight. You are complaining about the latitude of the CN line plans in 1875? This is the issue you want to bring to the attention of people on the internet with your blue check mark? And it's at that point I sort of gave up, because I answered all his questions. The man doesn't know his history. He doesn't understand that the opposition to Western strength has been brewing since before this was even a province. The people of the north of Saskatchewan, the people of the north of Alberta, wanted that rail line so that they could get their product to market. But instead, they ran it south. They ran it south for CP's own reasons. And Ottawa allowed CP carte blanche on where they laid that rail line and how many lives were destroyed because of that. People trying to settle and farm the land in the south and failing. The people in the north who couldn't get their product to market. And if you actually study the history of this place, you will understand that this is a battle that started then and continues to this day, whether it was getting product to market, whether it was the battle over who owns the resources underneath our feet. Ottawa takes, and we give. And it's going to be too much under Carney, who promises in his book, I can't emphasize this enough, he promises in his book to strand our resources in the ground and to completely deindustrialize Alberta and Saskatchewan as a result, direct result of his net zero loyalty. In spite of the snake oil that he says on the campaign trail, this man has no beneficial plan for Western Canada, which is why it's time for everybody to get loud about sovereignty. And by the way, what is this idea that talking about sovereignty for the West is somehow a betrayal? The Quebecers have a party dedicated to pursuing sovereignty. In fact, they have two. They occupy the federal legislature when they have no intention of creating a prime minister. They're going to dominate provincial politics when the next election comes along. They're built on sovereignty. They have deployed the sovereignty threat to maximum effect, and they have extracted incredible value out of this country for themselves. When any other province talks about it, it's treachery. But the Bloc has national media attention. They have a place in the debates, and nobody bats an eye. Some people complain, but the media doesn't complain. They don't throw a fit about it. It's been established for decades, their presence in the Canadian political landscape. So don't buy the gaslighting. Have courage. Have faith. Emphasize your needs provincially. The provinces are sovereign, folks. They always have been. There's only certain powers that have been dedicated to the federal government, and they have eroded the barriers to the between the provinces and the federal government. It's time we reestablish them at a minimum, and I think it's time we took it much further. I'm going to finish. I'm going to keep this video on theme and try to keep it short. Carla Beck, of course he won't. Mo says he's Canadian, but he wouldn't stop a vote. Saskatchewan separating. And she says, of course he won't. Saskatchewan is Canada. That's not going to change if I have anything to say about it. She doesn't want you to have your democratic say. This is the NDP. And she has positioned herself well before Mark Carney's even showed his hands. This shows a shocking degree of political naivety. And everybody should remember that when it comes to Carla Beck and the Saskatchewan NDP. There's a lot of problems with this party. Now, we're not fighting an election. We're not doing anything. We've got 3.5 years of Scott Moe's government. The most important political party in this country right now, or in this province right now, maybe soon to be country, is the Saskatchewan Party. That's where your lobbying effort should be. That's where your noise should be directed. Be heard. Be fearless. Don't be bullied out of having your say. And as time rolls forward, I believe our hand is going to be strengthened by the Carney administration. Look, there's a comment I read this morning. A Doug Ford voter. He said, I voted against Bonnie Crombie because I thought she'd be worse. But soon after the election, he realized that Doug Ford was really no different from Bonnie Crombie. And he said, I will never vote for Doug Ford again. The same kind of buyer's remorse is coming to the liberal voter who thinks they voted for their prosperity, who thinks they voted for salvation, who thinks they voted for a strong country, who thinks they voted for Team Canada. We tried to tell you. We tried to warn you. It didn't work. Experience is going to teach you about reality. And I know I said something similar yesterday, but I just want to signal again my appreciation for everybody. Whether you're like, sharing, donating, whatever you're doing, you make this happen. Now, many of you have expressed that you like it when I tie my hair up. And many of you have expressed that you want my hair down. I did not think my hair was going to become such an issue for the viewer. So what I'm going to do is maybe do it both ways, and we'll see what happens. Anyway, bit of a lighthearted finish. Sign the petition. Enforce and amplify your desires. Don't be afraid. And it's going to be more than social media. You're going to have to attend some meetings. You're going to have to get out of your comfort zone. If you really want to secure the future, not just for yourselves, but for your children and grandchildren, you're going to need to be more involved in the coming months. Because we have to have the shape of things figured out before this summer ends. Big changes are coming one way or another. And it's left to you to determine whether they're positive or they're negative. I'm Frank Vaughn. I'll see you in the next one.